We'll be back with an hour to go from Duke Siebert's on this, our 15th anniversary of the Larry King Show. We've had a great night. All of this will be repeated 1 hour from now on most stations in case you missed any of it. Right now, we'll pause for the news and be back with more of the Larry King Show. I'm Larry King at Duke Siebert's on this 15th anniversary, and this is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Every time you speak, people judge you by the words you use. To make a powerful impression, you need a powerful vocabulary. You need verbal advantage. Achievement Dynamics audio cassette program that teaches you proper pronunciation, meaning, and usage without study. Verbal Advantage gives you the word power you need. All you have to do is listen. To learn more, call during daytime hours at 1-800-999-1991. 1-800-999-1991.
When's the last time you tried Ovaltine?
Last night, I asked my wife to make some decaf or hot cocoa before bed. She made Ovaltine instead. I'd forgotten how good it was.
Just two glasses of classic Ovaltine and milk contain more than 10 essential vitamins and minerals, almost 100% of the recommended daily allowance of B-complex vitamins, A, C, and D.
Ovaltine tastes so good, you'll want some every night.
Classic Ovaltine tastes great, and it's great for you.
This is CNN Radio, AM 680, WXKN, Newburgh to New Albany, Jeffersontown to Jeffersonville, Kentuckiana's only all-news and information station.
Mutual News. A legal decision on gays in the military. A federal judge in Los Angeles has declared the ban on military homosexuals is unconstitutional. Gregory King of the Human Rights Campaign Fund believes it is a significant ruling.
I think the judge has set a clear standard that discrimination against lesbian and gay Americans in the military is a violation of our constitutional rights of equal protection, and sends a clear signal that discrimination is about to fall.
Meanwhile, in Washington, President Clinton has held another meeting with top Senate Democrats on his plan to end the ban on gays in the military. Afterwards, White House News Secretary Dee Dee Myers said an agreement is close. On Friday, the president is expected to announce a delay in lifting the ban. The president also expected to say no gay military person would be dismissed during the period unless he commits homosexual acts. I'm Fred Lowry.
Every time you speak, people judge you by the words you use. To make a powerful impression, you need a powerful vocabulary. You need verbal advantage. Achievement Dynamics audio cassette program that teaches you proper pronunciation, meaning, and usage without study. Verbal Advantage gives you the word power you need. All you have to do is listen. To learn more, call during daytime hours at 1-800-999-1991. 1-800-999-1991.
When's the last time you tried Ovaltine?
Last night, I asked my wife to make some decaf or hot cocoa before bed. She made Ovaltine instead. I'd forgotten how good it was.
Just two glasses of classic Ovaltine and milk contain more than 10 essential vitamins and minerals, almost 100% of the recommended daily allowance of B-complex vitamins, A, C, and D.
Ovaltine tastes so good, you'll want some every night.
Classic Ovaltine tastes great, and it's great for you.
Arab officials at the United Nations are working up a draft resolution which calls for sanctions against Israel as a result of the Palestinian deportation issue. The document may be presented to Security Council members on Friday. Israeli Prime Minister Rabin remains confident that if UN sanctions are drawn up against his country, President Clinton would intervene.
No president of the United States will give a hand to any resolution on the UN, in the UN, that will be against Israel by practical terms.
The U.S. has a veto in the Security Council, a single vote which can cancel out a resolution. Bill Clinton is backing off on the notion of quickly dealing more forcefully with the situation in Bosnia. Correspondent Howard Moss has more on that from the State Department.
After top national security officials discussed the options available to the U.S. at a White House meeting, Secretary of State Christopher returned here advising reporters to lower any expectations of quick U.S. action on Bosnia.
These are very serious problems with a it goes back a long ways. We confront a situation that has very, very deep roots.
While officials have been reviewing the full range of U.S. options, including military action, Christopher won't spell out details, conceding it's going to take some time to work our way through them. Howard Moss, the State Department.
The gross domestic product during the final quarter of 92 grew at an annual rate of 3.8%, a relatively strong showing. But the chairman of the Federal Reserve does not believe the surge will persist. Alan Greenspan expects slower growth the first part of this year. A new song by Paul McCartney will not be getting any play on MTV, the music video cable TV station. The tune entitled Big Boys Bickering is a protest to the governments of the world, which refuse to work together to curb pollution. The song, said to be peppered with the famous four-letter F word. With news, I'm Fred Lowy.
Live from Duke Siebert's restaurant in Washington, D.C., overlooking Connecticut Avenue, the Farragut North Metro stop, and the McDonald's where the president stops for decaf, the Mutual Broadcasting System presents the 15th anniversary of the Larry King Show. Tonight, Larry's assembled a special group of friends, celebrities, and people with nothing better to do on this special occasion. And now, from his second home, ladies and gentlemen, Larry King.
We're back with another hour at Duke Siebert's. What a night. A lot of the crowd still here. We've had a great party in this hour. John Miller's going to join us. We're going to meet Bernie Shaw of CNN. Lester Lannan, the brilliant orchestra leader who's been doing his thing for a long, long time. We've had an outstanding lineup of guests here tonight. And a lot of old friends in the audience as well. A special salute to Nordstrom's. Did I get that in okay? I love that. I like Nordstrom's. A great store. I like the Pentagon Mall. You like the Pentagon? Okay. You bought the shirt at Nordstrom. Okay. I wonder what it costs new. Okay, Duke is here. Anyway, we're back. This is our 15th anniversary, and this is also the final night at night. Starting Monday night, we will be on afternoons 3 to 6. The CNN show, of course, Larry King Live, remains at 9 o'clock Eastern. But the broadcast idiom, this show will be heard from 3 until 6. Some exciting things coming this year as well. And we're going to have a big television trip. Bernie Shaw and Lou Dobbs and I are going to head to Tokyo in April, late March and April, to do some special CNN broadcasts. We'll be telling you more about that. Right now, I want to welcome to our microphones one of my great friends. I've known John almost 10 years now. And we've become very, very close. He's the sports voice of ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. He's the voice of the Baltimore Orioles. John Miller, ladies and gentlemen, is just best at what he does. So, John, want to recap the night for us. How are you feeling? Anything you want to say, John? I'm out of questions.
Larry King is out of questions?
I'm out of questions.
Oh, my God, let's move the show to the afternoon, then. Just in time, they moved.
Just in time, John.
I wanted to say.
I figured he had an act ready.
This is the 15th anniversary, and I came to Baltimore from the Boston Red Sox, 1983, and there's a side of Larry King, a non-public side, that I just felt that it should be mentioned here tonight, that about the generous nature of Larry King, the way he helps other people in the business. And I know in my own case, I came to Baltimore, started broadcasting the Orioles games as a new guy in town. And one of the first people who made a point to come out to the ballpark and say, hey, you are doing an outstanding job, and I'm a big fan, was Larry King. And always through the years, Larry's the first one to come in and say, doing a great job, keep it up. Which, when you're in the business, that kind of a feedback from somebody else in the business is always helpful. Now, I can't say that, you know, he's generous in every regard, professionally and in terms of the tips and the helpful comments. But, when I've needed money, no. But in terms of keeping me up psychologically, nobody better. My mother had that operation, no insurance, no help from Larry. But he'd only just met her. But
what a wonderful... I'm so humbled by these great remarks.
Very sensitive in so many ways.
Yes.
Hey, my car could probably go another couple years. Don't worry about that, Larry. I'm fine with that. But I remember with a show we did out in Seattle.
Let's set this up. We did a great thing in Seattle. I got to tell you this. The Orioles were out in Seattle playing, and we were doing a remote broadcast at a Hotel Sheraton, about 1,000 people downtown. And I said, John, tonight, you know, John wasn't on ESPN, then he wasn't on national television, and so he wasn't known. You know, he was just the Oriole announcer. So I said, John, go in, sit in the audience tonight, and later we'll have the microphone mingle through the audience. When I get to you, just give your name, and I'll say, what do you do? And you'll say, you want to be a baseball announcer. And then I'll give you the chance to practice. And then we'll do a whole bit. And here's what happened that night. Okay, you got to imagine this. This whole audience is sitting 1,000 people. I think it was Pat Piper is walking through the audience with the microphone. And I'm talking to people, you know, hi, Schleimi. Hello, Jim. What do you do? I'm a truck driver. Hello, Phil. Okay, here's a nice-looking gentleman. What's your name, sir?
Hi, Larry.
Hi. What's your name? You don't know your name. Now, this is just the way he was. Look at that face. You know his name. Now, the whole audience is looking at him like this is kind of a weird sort of guy, you know, coming in off the streets of Seattle. Did you forget your name? Are you nervous, sir?
Jim, Larry.
Jim, okay. Jim, what do you do for a living?
I'm a truck driver, Larry.
Okay, but someone told me that you had another goal. What do you want to be?
Well, I always wanted to be a baseball broadcaster, Larry. That's my dream in life.
Now, the whole audience then goes, you know, the guy is shy, doesn't have much of a voice. But you want to be a baseball player? You seem a little hesitant. You seem a little shy.
It's my dream, Larry. My dream.
To be a baseball announcer.
It's my dream.
Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to take a shot with you. Now, the whole audience is looking around like they don't believe this, right? He's playing it straight. Nobody's laughing. I said, okay, I'm going to give you a shot, Jim. I'm going to let you fantasize. Imagine a baseball game. A lot of people listen to the show, a lot of important people. Maybe you can do like a test thing on the air.
Great, Larry. Great, I'm ready.
All right, now the whole line, be quiet. Let's help this guy. Jim, try it. Jim, I got a lot of dead air. Okay. Are you nervous? You're obviously a little nervous.
No, Larry, I'm ready.
Oh, you're ready.
Just give the word.
Okay, one more. Now, the whole audience, they're getting a little perturbed now already, you know, because the guy. Okay, Jim, this is your last chance. This is your attempt to be a baseball announcer. Try it.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Vin Scully, and welcome to Dodger Stadium. Pull up a chair. Brought to you by Farmer John. Mm-mm.
That was some night. I'll never forget that name. He's a very...
The amazing thing about that...
That was some
We went on with the little Vin Scully a bit, and then Larry says, went out... If you don't get the baseball job, is there anything else in broadcasting you'd like to be? And I said, well, I always wanted to be a talk show host late night, like the Larry King show. And Larry says, well, this is your big opportunity. Go ahead, and let's give your audition as a talk show host. And we had set this up in advance. And I said, all right, well, if I was going to do a talk show, Larry, I'd do it just like you. So here I go.
This is the Larry King Show, and we're broadcasting live from the Sheraton in Seattle.
How was that, Larry?
Very good, Jim. You did it very good.
Now, the incredible thing was the next night at the ballpark, people who heard the show, they came up to me. The broadcaster of the Mariners, Dave Niehaus, says, you know, that was excellent, and I've always loved the Vin Scully impression, but let me just say this. When you did that Larry King, I mean, that was the best I've ever heard.
There was one night...
And it was good, wasn't it? Yeah, I can still do it.
There was one night John was doing a baseball game in Baltimore, and he does all his imitations, and I was sitting next to him, and John says, I've been working on my Larry King, and I'm going to try to do a half inning as Larry King. And all he did was tap me on the shoulder. He left the booth, and I did the half inning. I just, you know, I brought out a pop fly ground ball, and I went back, and now I'm on the radio late at night, and a guy calls in and says, did you listen to the game tonight? I said, no. He says, John Miller, did you? He imitated you for a whole half an inning. I said, no kidding. Was he good? The guy says, fair. We'll be back with some more minutes with John Miller, and then we're going to meet Bernie Shaw right after these messages.
Larry King Show, tonight from Duke Siebert's Restaurant, where Larry's been eating lunch for the last 15 years. Now, 15 years times how many lunches is what? Now, back to Larry.
With Ball Henderson, our live announcer. In a couple of minutes, we'll meet one of the best newscasters ever, Bernie Shaw. What a night. Bernie Shaw and Ted Koppel the same night. And then we'll meet Lester Lannon, who's been entertaining people for a lot of years. We'll also do a little mingling as well. John Miller, the voice of ESPN and of Baltimore Oriole baseball, is with us. Going to be a big year, huh? When do you go down to spring training?
Well, pitchers and catchers report February 19th for the Orioles, and most teams either the 19th, 20th, 21st, and the exhibition season will start March 5th. We'll start broadcasting on the Orioles network down there, and then the ESPN will also televise a few ball games.
This is the last year of Sunday night ESPN baseball, or they may bid and get it again?
Well, it's the last year of the contract. Whether it's the last year of the whole deal or not, I don't know. The Sunday night game has evolved in a short time, I think, into... In the absence of a game of the week...
it's the game of the week.
Yeah, it's now the game of the week, and we're real proud of the telecast, and I think, you know, last year at the Emmys, Sunday Night Baseball didn't win the Emmy, but it was nominated up there with the Olympics, the Final Four, Monday Night Football, so it was up there with the big boys, so we're real proud of it.
John lives over in Baltimore, and his lovely wife Janine is here. I love her in white. Lou Schwartz of the American Sportscasters Association is here. He has that wonderful banquet every year in New York. And he's asked me to ask John to do something. I'm going to ask John to do it. Vin Scully, listen to this, folks. Pay attention. Vin Scully in Japanese.
Well, and it's especially apropos since you're going to Japan.
That's right. Bernie, pay attention to this.
About 2 years ago, I was in Japan and had a chance to hear the great legendary broadcaster of the Tokyo Giants, Genshiro Asami. Yeah.
Genshiro.
You know him, but, you know, like myself, you had never heard him. So now I'm in Tokyo. I flip on the set to hear Genshiro Asami with great expectation and excitement. And then it put me off a little bit because he was doing Scully. There I am in Tokyo. And there's the voice of the Tokyo Giants saying, Watashi wa Karakuen Stadium ni orimasu. Hajime mashite dozo yoroshiku aboard. It was
kind of a stand. You know, true story though. I did that little bit on television with Roy Firestone, good friend of yours. And you know, there was Vinny and Genshiro Asami, blah blah blah. 2 days later, I'm in Oakland, batting practice before the game. I walk out on the field, and standing behind the batting cage is Genshiro Asami, the real guy. I walk up to him. He remembers me. I mean, he really exists. We shake hands and how you doing, so on and so forth. And I said, you know, you're not going to believe this, Asami-san. It's the craziest coincidence. 2 days ago, I'm on television, and I do this little joke about you, and he says, oh, yes, Vin Scully. Very funny. He saw it. What are the odds of that? That's incredible.
Let's close with Bernie would be interested in this. Any newscaster would. We all know the voice of Harry Carey, the legendary voice of the Chicago Cubs, and Shaw is a Chicagoan. Bernie always thought, John always thought, what would it be like if Harry Carey did the news?
This is Bernard Shaw. This is Bernard Shaw's CNN News. Now we take you live to CNN Baghdad correspondent. Here's Harry Carey. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Bernie. And here comes the missiles. They might be. They could be. They are. They're hitting the ground in Baghdad. Holy cow.
Let's hear it for John Miller, ladies and gentlemen, a special guy. Bernie Shaw is next after these messages.
You're listening to The Larry King Show, tonight on its 15th anniversary. And now from Duke's along Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
We're back with one of my favorite people. It's an honor to call him a colleague. We're going to be heading to the Far East together in a couple of months. He's the ACE Award-winning newscaster at CNN and one of the best-known anchors we have ever had in this country. Ladies and gentlemen, Bernard Shaw. The kid from Chicago. Bernie was telling me, you got to tell the audience what memories John was bringing back. When Bernie was a kid, he used to listen to Bob Elson.
Bob Elson and Don Wells. It's baseball from Comiskey Park.
They had a song. Do the song, Bernie.
Well, the station was WCFL.
Bernie Shaw is going to sing.
WCFL and the Voice of Labor in Chicago, Chicago Federation of Labor, and the jingle would come on and the song would start like, stay tuned for Bob Elson, stay tuned for Don Wells, and you'll hear more baseball on WCFL. And I was right there.
And you wanted to be a sportscaster, right?
I did, early on, when I was about 10, 11, but Along with that, I used to watch Ed Murrow every Sunday, and also Cronkite. And at age 13, I was defined. Journalism was it.
Now, I would imagine not many black kids growing up in Chicago said, I want to be a television newscaster, since you didn't see any of your own.
Probably not. Mel Good, ABC News, the first black correspondent on network television. But I wasn't thinking about color.
At all.
I was experiencing, my family experienced racism as African Americans, but Ed Murrow was my idol, and I said, I want to be like that man. Period.
So, in other words, you put it aside, didn't think that you there would be curves in the way.
Yeah.
What was your big break?
I don't know. It's hard to... I don't have a big story. Baghdad 2 years ago, people said, obviously, that was the best story you've ever covered. Well, my big break was being hired to pull wire copy in a station that was owned by a name you and people in your audience, especially those in Texas, will remember, Gordon McClendon. And he had a radio station that he wanted to convert from rhythm and blues to all news. It was one of the first all news stations in the nation, WNUS. I started at WYNR pulling wire in 1964, wire copy. Martin Luther King had just come into Chicago in 64 to begin his fair housing campaign. And it was a big story, and they said, kid, we'll hire you, we'll pay you $50 a week to cover this man. And I got to know Dr. Martin Luther King very intimately, interviewing him countless hours during the day, week in and week out. And after a while, he saw me coming, he called me doctor, we would kibitz a lot. And that's how I got my break, covering his big rally in Soldier Field.
What took you to CNN?
What took me to CNN?
You were the first, right?
Since we went on the air. In fact, we went on the air June 1st, 1980, but I was with CNN after I left ABC, and Ted Koppel and Peter Jennings and all my other friends and colleagues over at ABC. I'd always wanted to be an anchor, but I did not want to sit in the chair unless and until I felt that I was ready, qualified, and had been what I called an A to Z correspondent, meaning you cover local news, national news, and international news. And I had gone from Westinghouse, Group W Westinghouse Radio, terrific radio network, to CBS News. Bill Small hired me. Interesting story. Connie Chung, Leslie Stahl, and I are the CBS News class of 71. We were hired into the CBS News Bureau at 2020 M Street, three blocks from where you're seated right now here in Dukes, in 1971. I worked there 7 years, went to ABC because I wanted to cover Latin America, came back from Latin America, started covering Bush's 1980 campaign when he was trying to wrest away from Ronald Reagan the party nomination. And after 3 years at ABC, I got a call from two friends, Dan Shore, George Watson, here for ABC in Washington. And they had been hired by Ted Turner. And ABC and I were having difficulties. We couldn't get together on money. And they said, why didn't you think about this? And they said, we want you to be our principal Washington anchor. And after a couple months of negotiation with Reese Schoenfeld, and then going down and talking to Ted in Atlanta, that decided it. And here I am. The rest is history.
And one of the funny sidebars is when we started Larry King Live, that was June 1st, 1985.
Exactly.
On the fifth anniversary of CNN, we started that night. You were celebrating 5 years. And who'd have thunk it, huh, Bernie?
Exactly.
When we come back, I'll ask Bernie about Baghdad. Don Rickles does a great bit on you, you know, everywhere he is. All you say to Don Rickles, Bernie Shorty, he falls under the table. And he says, Ted, start another war. we're gonna pause news headlines, a word from your local stations. We'll come back with one of the best in the business, Bernard Shaw, one of the most respected as well. Lester Lannon is here with his hats and his society orchestra. Lester Lannon played at every Ross Perot Offspring wedding. He might have a story here tonight. There might be a story here tonight. This is the Larry King Show. We switch to days starting Monday. Tomorrow night, Jim Bohannon takes over this slot. And we'll be back after the news headlines with Bernie Shaw of CNN. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Achievement Dynamics, creator of Verbal Advantage, proudly brings you the ultimate verbal advantage, command of a foreign language. You can learn Spanish, French, German, Italian, or Japanese the easy, natural way, by hearing and responding. Achievement Dynamics audio cassette programs will give you the foreign language fluency you need to communicate with confidence and flair. To learn more, call during daytime hours at 1-800-999-1991. 1-800-999-1991.
Homeowners, Sears Siding Contractors install vinyl siding on homes like yours even during the winter months. Call Sears Siding now and save 15% on premium vinyl siding. Sears Siding is guaranteed against chipping or peeling for as long as you own your home. And it's sold, furnished, and carefully installed by a Sears authorized contractor. Call 1-800-843-0100 for a free in-home estimate. Not available in all areas. Offer ends March 15th. So call now, 1-800-843-0100.
This is CNN Radio, AM 680, WXKN, Newburgh to St. Matthews, Middletown to Clarksville, Kentuckiana's only all-news and information station.
President Clinton and top Senate Democrats have held another meeting on how to go about lifting the ban on gays in the military. Among those who took part, Senate Democratic Leader George Mitchell.
We had a good discussion and we made good progress.
The president on Friday is expected to have an announcement. Reportedly, the agreed-to arrangement includes a moratorium on actual lifting of the ban to provide time for congressional hearings. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Los Angeles has declared the existing ban on homosexuals in the military is unconstitutional. President Clinton is said to be considering restrictions in Social Security cost of living increases as part of his economic game plan. Senior citizen advocates already are up in arms over that suggestion. Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall will be buried on Friday. Private services are scheduled at Arlington National Cemetery following Thursday's funeral in Washington. I'm Fred Lowy.
Every time you speak, people judge you by the words you use. To make a powerful impression, you need a powerful vocabulary. You need Verbal Advantage, Achievement Dynamics audio cassette program that teaches you proper pronunciation, meaning, and usage without study. Verbal Advantage gives you the word power you need. All you have to do is listen. To learn more, call during daytime hours at 1-800-999-1991. 1-800-999-1991.
When's the last time you tried Ovaltine?
Last night. I asked my wife to make some decaf or hot cocoa before bed. She made Ovaltine instead. I've forgotten how good it was.
Just two glasses of classic Ovaltine and milk contain more than 10 essential vitamins and minerals, almost 100% of the recommended daily allowance of B-complex vitamins, A, C, and D.
Ovaltine tastes so good, you'll want some every night.
Classic Ovaltine. Tastes great, and it's great for you.
This is the 15th anniversary of the Larry King Show, and tonight's broadcast is coming to you from Duke's Ebert's in Washington, D.C. And now, CNN's Mr. Iceman and Larry King.
Hey, Paul Henderson, one of the great voices in American radio, Mr. Iceman.
He is absolutely the coolest man under fire I have ever seen in my life, bar none, and I've been in the journalism game for 30 years.
The newsman's newsman, in that regard.
Absolutely.
Nothing
unflappable. Marvelous.
What was that way, Bernie?
I don't think so. Because,
And I've seen this man in situations where his ear prompter had to be burning. There must have been smoke curling up behind his ear.
No, I wasn't always that way. But if you sit in that chair or if you report, given CNN's audience, we've reached the point where the diplomatic pouch, the enciphering of codes by an ambassador in Washington to get information securely back to his or her government, wherever it might be on this planet, that's an outmoded form of communicating. We saw during the Gulf War where the leader of the United States and the leader of Iraq, the leader of Saudi Arabia, and elsewhere, the coalition partners communicated to one another and with one another instantaneously over a 24-hour-a-day television network. What I'm leading up to is that we at CNN have a what I consider to be a horrific responsibility. Not only do we have to be quick with information, we have to be accurate. It has to be delivered dispassionately. There can be zero editorializing, and we have to realize that people are listening for information. They presume that what they're getting is correct.
The other night on our show, Dick Cheney said that CNN is now the world's message. I mean, the diplomat learns from turning on the set.
Oh, precisely.
It is the medium.
And that imposes, I use the word again, a horrific responsibility on the women and men who work at CNN. A
couple of other things. We're going to Tokyo together. You and I are going to Tokyo together.
Looking forward to it.
It'll never be the same.
Huh? Well,
Jew and a black guy hit Tokyo same day. They're waiting for me.
Awesome. We're doing it for a very important reason. We want to remind the world that, if it needs to be reminded, we are utterly serious about covering this planet. And quite frankly, we're getting competition from BBC television, which has a big imprint in a certain part of Asia, especially in India. And we want to tell our neighbors, our friends, and our viewers around the Pacific Rim nations that we're here. We know you know we're here. But we just want to reinforce it.
I want Bernie to clear up something before we break in and meet Lester Lannon. We're going to spend another 5 minutes with Bernie Shaw of CNN, who was a surprise here tonight. I knew you were coming to party, but I'm certainly glad you came on. There's a lot of jokes.
Be here.
A lot of jokes, comics jokes about Bernie Shaw under the table. I'm under the table and the bombs are coming. But there was a reason. Let's finally hear the real story, since to restore Paul's faith that Mr. Iceman was always Mr. Iceman. There was even a tactical reason why he went under the table.
There was a tactical reason. I explained it, as I recall, three times. A lot of things were happening and all hell was breaking loose in the process of the explanation. But three times I recall distinctly saying to our audience around the world that one of the reasons why I and a second person among that trio, John Holloman, Peter Arnett, myself, would hide under tables and what have you. The security people were trying to get us out of Suite 906 at the Al Rashid Hotel. Everybody, keep in mind, everybody else was in the bomb shelter at the Al Rashid. And I decided that the best thing to do would be for two of us to hide, pardon me, in the rooms. So that if they came and got at least two of us, at least one of us would be able to come up and to continue to report from Baghdad. That's what it was all about. And I've said that time and again, but as recently as two nights ago on cable television, I turned to the set at 2:30 in the morning, guys making fun of me.
Well, they did.
I guess it's a story you can't pass up, but factually, and you know how we journalists feel about facts. First of all, you cannot hide from a cruise missile under a table, right? Okay?
No, that ain't going to work.
That's not going to work.
And you're a former Marine. Marines don't go under tables.
No.
Did you ever think you might buy it there?
Oh, I did, several times. My wife, Linda, right back here in the back of this room, and my children. We came this close. We were very fortunate. And for those journalists 2 years ago who thought that the Al Rashid was a safe haven, we now know, based on what happened just a couple weeks ago, that the Al Rashid is not a safe haven. And the cruise missile is a fine piece of equipment. But you'll recall, all of you, your viewers, coast to coast, can recall, whenever there's something going on in Baghdad, you see the tracers going up. And what the Iraqis do is, imagine the air over you right now, wherever you are, is a grid. The Iraqis have anti-aircraft batteries, or AAA as it's referred to. And their custom is to just spray the air, to spray this imaginary grid over your head with all kinds of 50-miller, 85-millimeter shells. The idea is to hit anything that's flying through that grid. Well, the reason why stealth bombers were used is that they fly so high, not only can they not be seen, they cannot be hit. But anything flying 9,000 feet and below, and we all know a cruise will travel less than 9,000 feet, it hugs the ground, anything flying through that grid where all this yak-yak is going up can be hit. And obviously, some of it hit a cruise missile. And that's why that cruise slammed into the Al Rashid Hotel. the Al-Rashid was not a safe place, is not a safe place.
Now, you were on our show the night you came back, you and Holloman. Remember that Sunday night?
I was very shaken.
Oh, boy,
very shaken. And I told you, in fairness to you, I did not enjoy being on your show.
Boy, that was some night. Highest rated show we ever did. That
was it?
The whole world watched.
Well, that's because I'd just come out of a war zone. I think I had about 50 minutes with my family, and I went back to the studio to be on your show, and obviously CNN would want me on the show because this is competition, too. News is a business. But I didn't want to be on the show, and I said as much. It was nothing personal.
You do not want to go back and cover wars, do you?
Well, I've been in this business 29 years, and I've never turned down an assignment. Never. It's a matter of principle.
Really?
Yes, very much so. So if it were to come up again, if you're asking me, and I think you are asking me, what would I do, I would have a crisis of conscience. But I cannot say categorically here now, Linda might disagree with me back there in the back of the room, that no, I won't go. I did make a promise to her and to my son and daughter that I would never knowingly inject myself in a place where I knew that quite possibly I might not come back alive. I have no desire to come home to her and them air freight.
Mm-hmm. Were you in Nam?
No. When I got out of the Marine Corps, Vietnam was just hotting up.
Still, once a Marine, always a Marine, all right? You guys, the camaraderie of Marines is forever.
Oh, I think so, and I'm glad you haven't asked me my personal attitude about gays in the military. Because
and
I
so,
won't... I won't.
So your personal attitude...
No, I won't tell you. I won't express that. And I have a rule. I don't express personal opinions about issues or people I have to cover. And I think it's very important. People think that reporters have freedom of expression. We don't. At least this reporter feels he does not have the right to freely express himself. How can you have confidence in my impartial reporting if you hear me on Larry King tonight expressing my views about Bill Clinton, about opposition or support of abortion or gays in the military?
Would you go so far as Len Dowdy of the Washington Post, who says he doesn't vote?
No.
He says, as a newsman, he does not vote. Therefore, he has never been involved in the process as favoring one person over another.
No. I wouldn't go that far, but I understand instinctively how he feels. There are just certain luxuries I cannot permit myself, and one of them is the luxury of expressing my personal opinion. Do I have personal opinions? You're damn right. I have very strong opinions. But my opinions have no place in the straight reporting of news. Analysis, that's different. If you're covering a convention, an inauguration, you're hearing analysis based on years of experience. That's understandable. But you'll rarely hear me express a personal view about anything or anyone or any issue.
Great working with you, Bernie.
My pleasure.
Bernie Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
A special guy. Lester Lannan is next. I'm Larry King on our 15th anniversary, back after these messages.